Good. Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting of the Paradise Town Advisory Board to order. Let me bang this thing. Make it off official. All right, item number one, call to order, Pledge of Allegiance. Let's do the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll do the roll call. I see that we have everyone on our board in full attendance, so let the record please note that. Let's move to county staff introductions.
Julie? Good evening, everyone. I'm Julie Rowland from the Clark County Planning Department.
Planning and zoning. Thank you very much.
Beatrice Martinez from Commissioner Sagerman's office. And Blanca Vasquez from Commissioner Gibson's office.
To let everybody know that Blanca is our liaison, and so we have major issues tonight that we can't figure out, we turn them over to Blanca. Thank you very much, Blanca. Thank you very much.
She didn't know that.
She didn't know that, okay. All right, item number two, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, microphone in this case. Clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Do we have anybody that wants to speak at the beginning tonight? Seeing none, we'll close that item and move on to item number three, approval of the minutes, February 26, 2019.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes, February 26, 2019.
Thank you, John. We have a motion on the floor for approval of the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carries unanimously. Thank you. Item number four, approval of the agenda for March 12, 2019.
Mr. Chair, I would move to approve the agenda for March 12, 2019 as presented with no additions or deletions.
Excellent. We've got a motion on the floor for approval of our agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to informational items. Blanca, do we have any announcements other than the spring job fair? I would love to make this announcement. I'd like to let everybody know that Tuesday, March 26th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Commissioner Jim Gibson is hosting and sponsoring a spring job fair. It will be at the Enclave in Las Vegas at 5810 Southeastern Avenue, Las Vegas, and that is essentially on the corner of Euclid and Oquendo, between Oquendo and Russell. It'll be free and open to the public. There's going to be more than 50 employers are expected, and some employers will be hiring on the spot. So I'd like to invite you all to come. You may pre-register at www.nvcareercenter.org/springjobfair. Thank you very much.
Can you give the hours again?
We have additional flyers up on the podium over there if you want to grab one on the way out or at any time during the meeting. And the hours are from 9 to 1 to answer your question. Thank you. All right, anything else by staff or anyone? All right, we'll close that item and move on to our planning and zoning item. That starts off with item number one, UC 19-0071, Astral Hotels Las Vegas, Inc. Use permit for a proposed restaurant within an existing retail building. Waiver for development standards, or of development standards, to allow a commercial use restaurant outside. Design review for modifications to the exterior of an existing retail building on 1.1 acres in an H1 limited resort apartment zone, generally located on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard South, 600 feet north of Four Seasons Drive, within Paradise. Do we have an applicant?
Please I'm right here.
Hi. Please step up, grab the microphone, and turn it on with the bottom switch, the little one on the very bottom.
On.
Very
off.
Bottom. Excellent. And then give us your
one,
name
two, three.
And address.
My name is Eric Hershkowitz, Hershkowitz. And the address is 3961 South Las Vegas Boulevard, 89119. I own a souvenir store on that property. And in the back of the souvenir store, there's an empty room that we want to convert to a commercial kitchen. Let me start by, let me just pick up this. I'm just going to do you so you have an idea what I'm talking about. Just gives you an idea, yeah. We're not going to make any changes to the building. This is the side of the building where the restaurant's going to be. The only changes that are going to be made are, instead of this small window, it's going to be just a giant window to serve the food from. That's about it. It's going to be 24/7. The idea is to open it for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Fresh, healthy. You can, the pictures speak for themselves. That's about it. Very simple.
All right. Do you have anything else to add?
Not really, unless you guys have any questions for me.
Well, we'll get to that part in 1 second. So after that presentation, I'm going to close that and then open it up. This is a public hearing. Anyone in the audience would like to speak on this item, please come up, state your name and address for the record. Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to our board.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
If there are no comments on this application, I'm going to move to approve subject to staff conditions.
Thank you very much. We have a motion on the floor for approval subject to staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You guys want me to turn it up for now?
No, just sat there.
I just said it.
Item number two, DR 19-0130, Legacy Funeral Holdings NVLLC, design review for a proposed funeral home and chapel in conjunction with an existing cemetery on 19.4 acres in a PF public facilities AE65 and AE70 zone, generally located south of Patrick Lane, 670 feet east of Eastern Avenue within Paradise. Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Lizzo, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. This is a design review for the existing Davis Funeral Home located on Patrick and Eastern. It's been there for about 40 years now. They're requesting to build an additional building to move their funeral home and chapel over into that building. The current building that is there is, like I said, about 40 years old, so they're just looking to kind of revamp it a little bit. That building would remain and be used as administrative purposes only, but the uses are already on the property, so they're just looking for a new building. Happy to answer any questions.
All right, this is a public hearing, so I'll open it up for anybody in the audience that wants to speak on this item. Please step forward and give us your name and address. Seeing none, I'll close that item to the public and turn it over to our board.
Mr. Chair, if no one has any objections, I'll make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions.
Thank you, John. We have a motion on the floor for approval subject to staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Item number three, UC 19-0116, Valley View LLC, use permits for the following: one, a convenience store; two, restaurant; and three, on-premises consumption of alcohol, a service bar, in conjunction with an existing hotel wholesale food distributor on 9.6 acres in NIM 1 Light Manufacturing AE65 zone, generally located on the north side of Post Road, 454 feet west of Valley View Boulevard within Paradise. I'm assuming you're the applicant.
I am. My name is Lawrence J. Semenza, and I'm representing MPG Holdings, Incorporated, which is the owner of Cured and Way, which is the applicant, to take an existing delicatessen, a lunch shop with hot and cold sandwiches, soups, and charcuterie boards, and a gourmet grocery store, to enhance the business by adding beer and wine to the luncheon selections. Other than that, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. But it is an addition to an existing use and facility.
All right, thank you very much. This is a public hearing, so do we have anybody in the audience who would like to speak on this particular item? Please step forward and not seeing anyone, I'll close that and turn it over to the board.
Mr. Chair, if there's no comments or questions, I'd make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions.
Thank you very much. We have a motion for approval subject to staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Item number 4, UC 19-0133, 4870 West Oquendo Road, LLC. A use permit for a place of worship, waiver of development standards for reduced parking in conjunction with an existing office warehouse complex on a portion of 2.1 acres in MD Design Manufacturing AE60 zone, generally located on the north side of Oquendo Road, 110 feet east of Decatur Boulevard within Paradise. Mr. Applicant.
Good evening, Doug Rankin, 1055 Whitney Ranch Road, Henderson, Nevada. The place of worship is proposed to go in this location here. It's located between Decatur and Holm and Oquendo, across from the government building here. This is the Russell Permanent Building and the detention base. The place of worship is proposed to be located in this building here. These two adjacent buildings are owner-occupied. I do have letters of support from both of those owners and occupants. And I have a copy to share with the board. Take a look at those. Our hours of operation will be on Sundays from 9:30 to approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There'll be Sunday school at first and then a service afterwards. We did obtain the services of a traffic engineer to do a study. Currently, the church is being housed at the Sierra Vista High School. They did a couple studies out there to see the parking demand that they generate and applied it to this site. They have about 85 families in the congregation. The parking study indicated that they could approximately need, based upon counting all the cars at the high school, which weren't all members of the church, the demand appeared to be between 83 and 87 cars for the high school. Ours will be lower than that, and so far I do have that traffic study with me. Staff is recommending approval of our waivers for this location. There is plenty of on-site parking here to accommodate the use, but even then, the off-site parking at this location is quite extensive. There's parking along the Quindo and on both sides of Holm. And this is a full and approved sidewalk along the other side of the window. The government building is closed on Sundays. Other shops here, this is a tile store, they're closed on Sundays. This is some retail. They'll probably be very happy to have some more customers on Sunday that they currently don't have. So there's plenty of off-site parking too, street parking. I do have the reuse of the building. Here's our floor plan. It'll be composed of the Sunday school classrooms and the sanctuary area in order to provide services. At this time, there's no proposal to change any of the elevations, though they may stay as they currently are with some signage to message the place of worship. So I'm here to answer any questions if you have any comments.
Thank you. All right, good. Thank you very much. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience that wants to speak on this item? Please step forward and give us your name and address. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to the board.
Do you have any off-site parking agreements with the other landowners?
Not the off-site. On the on-site itself, this was done as one warehouse unit. In a sense, they've made some changes to where this is actually office uses. This is speculative engineering here. And there is some warehouse use still here. And they didn't have any CCRs. And as part of this, the church has agreed to enter into the CCR program. These two property owners have been trying to get the previous property owner to enter into those, and they haven't been very successful. Mm-hmm. So as part of that, they'll be entering into CCRs to do that. But we don't have any agreements to park on any of the other sites next to us. Should we need parking on a Sunday, there's sufficient on-street parking that's never utilized on a Sunday. Matter of fact, it's not utilized on a Tuesday or a Wednesday either.
I just wouldn't want to see the church encourage anyone to park on the other sites because there's liability issues there from those landowners.
Yeah, no, their plan is to work with this. As a matter of fact, they're working with the two other property owners here to ensure that parking flows properly on Sunday. They were concerned with the Raider Stadium that there'd be, you know, mass people using their parking lot on a Sunday, and they were concerned about that liability. So during that time, they'll all be working to keep this closed parking lot on Sundays just for tenants.
Okay.
So, Doug, I have a question. On the overall site, assuming that you get to use on a Sunday for the church all of the parking spaces, it may have eluded me in looking at it. How many spaces are actually available?
There are 87 spaces on site for parking on site itself. So if each member, currently they have about 85 families, if each family came, we would utilize almost all the site itself, on Sunday itself. Based upon the size of the congregation and the traffic engineer's indications, we should have sufficient currently to do that. If they grow in nature, they would add another service, is what their plan would be, to have two services in order to accommodate that. But even on the big holidays, they'll be able to accommodate some parking here on the hall, which is probably the most safe and easiest to get to, because it'll be next to the government. This is the county's
building department.
Yeah, it's the building department. This is fleet services. They never park on the street. They always park in here, and they're closed on Sundays for in general. Someone might pick up the car on an emergency public works out there on Sunday. But generally, there's nobody in this area.
Follow up question. Uh-huh. I noticed from your plan for interior work. How many members are you planning for to be able to hold it in the sanctuary?
You know,
to hold a service.
Yeah, I didn't do an occupancy study on that area. The dimensions are currently 67 feet by 86 feet. It is fixed seating for this location, so they are having fixed pews installed.
So that should be something around 100 or so?
Approximately, I believe it's about 100 seats.
Okay.
They didn't detail it out.
So my question is really sort of a point as well. I mean, if you were looking at a plan that was going to say we're going to plan a remodel and put a church with, you know, capacity for about 200 people, I would have a real problem with the parking. As it is, I don't believe that I have that issue right now, because it doesn't look like you're tremendously over-designed.
No, they take pride. They added, you know, half of the building itself is contained within the platforms in order to provide that Sunday school services and during the morning time, and that's important to note that the capitalist groups that initially didn't come together for the conversation.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Anybody want to venture a motion?
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead. Do I feel the need? All right. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion for approval following staff's conditions.
With the two-year review?
With the two-year review, correct. So, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number five, VS 19-0126, NEC Decatur and Patrick LLC, vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Oquendo Road and Patrick Lane, and between Decatur Boulevard and Cameron Street, alignment within Paradise. Description on file. Please give us your name and address for the record.
Brian Reidinger, R-I-D-I-N-G-E-R, 1134 Castle Point Avenue, Henderson, Nevada. Representing the applicant. We have a pretty easy application. It's vacating of some patent easements that will be remnants or left over and not used in the future either. This is Patrick Lane, Cater Boulevard. This is the, I think it's called the Tropicana Detention Basin. That large channel that comes through here over two and feeds the water to run off into that detention basin right there. So Patrick Lane, for most practical purposes, unless they underground the detention basin, will never go through. And there wouldn't be anything going to the south because of the channels right there. So what we have done is not requested vacation of the portion that will be within Decatur Boulevard. We do have a parcel map that will be coming in that will turn this into one parcel for one development. We're good with staff's recommendations, other than they made a comment, I believe it's the second bullet note in Public Works regarding vacation to be reportable prior to building permit issuance or applicable maps middle. We really kind of want to run the vacation concurrent with the map application, so we can change that to recordation versus submittal. That'd be great. Which generally the comment wouldn't even come up until we submit the map anyway. We're just kind of ahead of the game because we've had it happen before.
All right. I suggest that you talk to Jason also to try to change that prior to the kind of finishing.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we'd be real hesitant to actually touch much of their condition for Public Works.
As long as it changes for the other, well, when you go fine, that'd be okay.
I think you're going to the Planning Commission on the 2nd.
Correct.
Right? So I would get with Jason before that and see if they can revise that particular comment in that section.
No problem.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Were you finished?
Yeah. Okay.
This is a public hearing, so if there's any members of the public that would like to comment on this particular item, please step forward, give us your name and address for the record. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to our board.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for to recommend this for approval based on staff conditions.
Okay, we've got a motion on the floor for approval based on staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Takes us to item number six, ET 19-400020, VS 037708, Harco LLC, vacate and abandon fourth extension of time, portions of rights of way being Charlotte Drive, Tuscany Casino Drive, Debbie Way, and an unnamed alleyways located between Flamingo Road and Harmon Avenue, between Koval Lane and Paradise Road, within Paradise. Paradise. Description on file. Applicant.
Hi, I'm Paul Byrne, 1555 South Rainbow, 89146, representing the applicant. This is an extension of time for vacation of a small portion of Rochelle Avenue, Harmon down here, Koval out there. I know that you've seen this project before. I have great news for you. Last month, the new owners bought this property. They are developers. And I couldn't be happier. And for those of you that know Jeff Williams, he asked me to say hi to
you. Oh, good. All right, thank you. Anything else, Jeff? This is a public hearing, so if we have anybody here in the audience that wants to speak on this item, please step forward, give us your name and address for the record. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to the board.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you said somebody else is getting this property because I was going to vote no. This is way too long. Way too long. That's, given what you've said, I'm done. I'm okay.
No, and you know, I did want to actually follow up on that. An extension of time to vacate and abandon easements? I mean, I'm like Bob. For me, if you hadn't given us that news, I would not be predisposed to approve. Just to let you know.
I'm not blaming you at all.
Okay.
There's been obstructions many times through this property along the way, but there is, thank God, we have developers.
I'm glad for it. All right. Anybody on the board have any other questions or ideas, thoughts? Hearing none. All right. I will go ahead and make a motion for approval, subject to staff conditions. Any comments? Seeing none. All right. We've got a motion on the table for approval with staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Good job. You just saved your developer. No.
Yes.
Probably a lot of money.
Thank you.
Item number 7, ET19400022, also known as WS080416, Luera Beatrice E. Family Trust and Luera Beatrice TRS. Waivers of development standards, first extension of time for the following. 1. Eliminate street landscaping. 2. Reduce one-way drive aisle width. And 3. Reduce parking. Waiver of conditions for a zone change, ZC042115, requiring recording a perpetual cross-access ingress, egress, and parking easement per plans. Design review for revisions to a previously approved single-family residential to office building conversion on 0.2 acres in a CRT commercial residential transition zone, generally located on the west side of Eastern Avenue, 250 feet south of Hacienda Avenue within Paradise. Mr. Ashton?
Hello. Yes.
Please give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Ricardo Gonzalez.
The little button.
My name is Ricardo Gonzalez. I'm representing the Trees Family Trust. I live in 5353 Southeastern Avenue, zip code 89019. This is only an extension of time to actually start performing the work. We already have all the permits issued. We have drawings, permits, the offsite and the inside of the property. These are actually permits that we have obtained. Unfortunately, we ran out of time to start working, actually. Nothing has been changed on the project. It's just getting ready of time to start working.
Okay. Do you want to show us any plans, or are you just going to...
Well, if you want to see them, of course.
We can always ask later. No, it's all right.
Okay.
We'll go with that. All right, this is a public hearing. Anybody wants to comment on the agenda item, please step forward, give us your name and address for the record. I'll have to have you speak in.
Can I guess right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, just grab that mic and then you can walk around.
My name is Kathy Wagner, WAGNER, address 2232 Whipple Tree Avenue. And I had a couple of questions. I thought I heard him say 50-50.
53 Southeastern.
That's your address or the address of this property where?
That's the property address.
Okay, is that right at the corner of Hacienda and Eastern? Or is
it
three houses down?
It's the third house.
The third house,
yeah.
Okay. All right, well, because I didn't have the address when I went by there, because I live real nearby and I went by there yesterday. So I had a question about this commercial residential transition zone. Is that all of Eastern?
Well, not all of Eastern. It has a designated length. I forget exactly where it starts and stops, but it is along that way, that part of Eastern, for sure.
Okay.
It runs, if memory serves, it runs about 2 miles.
Okay. Okay. And do you know what you're going to do with the office building?
It's probably going to be running by a broker, real estate broker,
okay,
or by a county. Even
so, a regular office building, okay, because I had thought originally there was some talk about it being a child care.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
but it was changed.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. And then I'm wondering, because this zone, I think I brought this up at one of the other meetings about, could have been at least a year and a half ago. It's been a long time since I've been here. Anyway, this business of these residential areas turning into commercial properties, and wondering if the utilities were getting notified, and there was some discussion about who could or who would notify, because otherwise they're not billing under the proper, the utilities are not charging under the proper rates if you switch residential into commercial. So I think that also has something to do with planning and zoning. I'm not sure. I don't know if it was ever determined who would do that. I'm sure the property owner doesn't take responsibility for doing that, because chances are the rates go higher.
No,
but it should be done.
Actually, they go lower.
Well,
commercial is lower than residential, so it's in their best interest to notify them it's commercial.
Okay.
Yes, it's not more.
I'm not sure about that.
I verified it.
You did verify?
I verified because I manage commercial properties, so
okay.
I pay a lot of electric bills.
Okay.
And a restaurant will pay less, that runs all day and most of the night, pays less than I do at my home.
Okay. So, however, even if it's lower, do you think that the occupants are notifying the utilities so that they are zoned correctly within the utilities?
If they want a lower electric bill, they will. I don't know if they know to do that, but typically the building department, from my experience, because I've been dealing with Nevada Energy a lot lately on a commercial building,
mm-hmm.
They will no longer just turn power over into your name. They physically have to come out and inspect the meter before they will do a ownership change. So someone from Nevada Energy would be coming to the property and would see it's now a commercial building at that time. Because you cannot get your building occupancy permit until Nevada Energy has tagged that meter in person.
Actually, let me ask you, are these answers to your question? Okay. We're receiving notice from the building department saying that we need to get a water district approval also.
Okay.
We need, prior to a final authorization, we need to create these drawings too.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they're going to be notified for the water district.
The others
probably when owners or the build of the business owner or the new businesses, they have to get the building, the utilities on their business name, so they have to get their own accounts. See,
yeah, they should
accounts.
Have to. They should have to, but so many times they don't switch it.
So our case in front of us.
Yeah.
It's on design reviews,
right.
Subject to the waivers, etc. It's
right.
Not actually on the billing, so I'm going to close that down.
Okay, that's fine. And so I think that's the only questions I had. What address did you say that is?
5353 Southeastern.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the public? This is the last call. All right, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and turn it over to our board.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if there's no comments or questions, I'd make a motion to approve subject to staff conditions.
Thank you very much, Susan. We have a motion for approval subject to staff conditions. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item number 8, ZC 180905, Swenson 72, LLC. Zone change to reclassify 1.4 acres from UV Urban Village Mixed Use, AE 60 zone, to C1 Local Business, AE 60 zone. A use permit for a proposed mini warehouse facility, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, increase height, and 2, waive the requirement for sidewalks or a buffer around the building footprint. A design review for a proposed mini warehouse facility in the MUD 2 overlay and Midtown Maryland Parkway districts, generally located on the east side of Swenson Street, 1160 feet north of Flamingo Road within Paradise.
Hi. Good evening, Liz Self, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. This property is located on Swenson. We're approximately 1.4 acres south of Twain and north of Flamingo. We are currently zoned for mixed use development. We're surrounded by R5 developments. To our north is a 4-story multifamily complex, and to our south is a 9-story. We have a master plan of commercial tourists. We are requesting a zone change to C1 to build a mini storage facility. It's not often that I strongly disagree with staff's recommendation that I do here, and I'm going to explain to you why. There are a couple issues that staff raised in their staff report for their reasoning of denial. Their first is the fact that they believe that we are spot zoning this property. Because we're surrounded by residential and we're requesting a commercial use. So we are currently zoned mixed use, which requires a commercial component. So that's already required on the property. We're also only 1.4 acres, so we are far too small to put any type of R5 development on this property, or in my opinion, a mixed-use development on the property. After you get to the required parking, pedestrian rooms, etc., you wouldn't have any room left for a building. The second issue that staff brought up is they believe that this is going to bring a high-impact traffic, noise, and lighting to the area. Again, I believe this is a far less intense use than any mixed-use development or an R5 development. Mini storage facilities are meant to serve residential properties, especially multifamily developments where they have very small constraints within their units for storage. So it's very often that you find mini storages around residential, and they have, as you know, far less traffic noise. We're happy to do low-level lighting on this project, so I don't believe that this would be impactful to the neighborhood. In fact, I think it would serve the neighborhood, as there isn't any mini storage around here. The last issue that staff brought up is that there is no commercial within the close proximity of the site. It's true that we are surrounded by residential. However, we have C2 both to the north and the south of this block. So we are not the only commercial use that would be coming into this area. We are requesting, I'll show you the site plan real quick, sorry. So this is Swenson here. We'd be fronting onto Swenson. We have an intense landscape buffer along the front and landscaping around the entire perimeter of our property. It would be two separate buildings with a drive aisle down the center. Both would be 3 stories in height. We are requesting an increase of height to 38.5 feet, where 35 is the maximum. Again, 4-story apartment complex to our north and 9 stories to our south, so I don't think that would be an impact there. There is another waiver request that requires a path all the way along the perimeter of the buildings.
We do have it from the parking spots to the office. However, we didn't put it inside because generally with many storage facilities, you drive up to your unit and then you walk right in or into the door where you go upstairs. So again, I strongly disagree with staff on this one. I don't believe that any type of mixed use or residential is going to go onto this property, mostly because of the size of it. Again, we are currently zoned for mixed use, which is much less than what we are proposing. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, this is a public hearing. Do we have anybody in the audience that wants to speak on this item? Please step up, grab the microphone, and give us your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Fred Roy. I live adjacent to the plant property at 3930 Swenson. I'm a homeowner there, also a member of the HOA there, recently elected. I've lived on my property for 20 plus years now, and I'm not opposed to the storage itself, provided we understand what kind of storage we're looking at. If it's a storage that, as she said, the homeowners can use to store their goods, as opposed to some type of storage that would exacerbate the homeless problem. And anyone can attest, just driving up and down Swenson, it's probably one of the worst areas in Paradise. There's a lot of transit traffic, a lot of homeless, and there's a lot of crime. And I would object to any structure that would exacerbate the problem we already have. There's police sirens going up and down Swenson all the time, day or night. And as I said, I'm not opposed to a storage facility, provided we understand what kind of storage it is. But I am opposed to the rezoning. I don't understand why it has to be rezoned. There have been businesses that have tried to use that lot in the past. For one, I remember there was a dry hockey arena there, but as those businesses have come and gone, they left the structure and it just became a shelter for homeless. And we've had fires there in the past after the businesses was abandoned. And that lot itself, from my unit, it's just a collection for the homeless. The owners, they clean it up and move the homeless persons out. As soon as they do that, there's another couple, two, three, move in. So I'm opposed to any type of business that would it would abandon its business after it realized that it couldn't make a go of it, and we left with this deplorable structure. Also, I'd like to correct her on whether or not there is storage in that area. Just about a quarter of a mile north of Twain, there is a mini storage unit facility already there. So I just wouldn't want our homeless to find a place to just store their junk temporarily.
Fred, thank you very much for your comments. Anybody else like to speak? All right, Liz, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, so I'll address a couple of those issues. So this would be gated. Town storage is all throughout Las Vegas. They have several different locations, so they're fairly successful. I don't see them building a building and then having to evacuate it at any time soon. But there would be a gate here.
which would be accessed only by customers who have a unit. Otherwise, they would not be able to get into the property. And this would be 24 hours. The office is not open 24 hours, but the gate would be, but it is operated by a code like other mini storage properties.
Okay. I'll turn it over to the board.
Can I ask you, the mini storage that's further down on Twain, is that in good condition when you go by there? Is it got a lot of homeless around
it? It's a gated storage. I've never used it from the street. I couldn't say.
But it looks clean from the street?
It's pretty much clean from the street, I would say. But...
And then, is there anything on either side of the parcel? Like, there's homes on both sides. This is just one acre that's, like, squeezed in. There's nothing there on either side now? Yeah, your parcel.
Yeah, so this is an infill piece.
Okay.
Yeah, we have...
To his point...
Yeah, we're completely surrounded.
What else could go in there that would be secure? I think you make a very good point, is if we put just another business building in there, is it going to be as secure as a mini storage that's gated in? So I think you make a very good point there.
For security.
For, yeah.
Which is the point.
Which, yeah, exactly.
Our HOA, we owned that lot at one time, and it was supposed to be two towers going up, but we sold it away. And I'm speaking just for myself. My other board members are not here tonight. I'm just speaking as a resident. But I believe we would like to see another building go up in that area and keep it just that part of Swenson, just living space instead of a business that could lead to another business that could lead to another business that's not conducive to that area.
I just don't think you could get another residential building on an acre, because codes have changed from when your buildings went in versus what they are now. So you couldn't get much of a building on there to make it residential. It just wouldn't pencil out the amount of money it would cost to build it with parking and everything. So I personally agree with Liz that I know it's an odd piece and that staff might think it's spot, but it's just one little sliver. With what else are you gonna do with an acre that's landlocked?
Right.
And I think this is a secure alternate plan for the other neighbors.
Well, it makes sense. A restaurant's not gonna go in there. No insurance guy's gonna go in there. I mean, I know I wouldn't have put my place in there.
I would hate to see any boat or vehicle storage.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Not a great place for boat and vehicle storage.
I have a couple questions regarding the design of the space on the street front. So I've seen a bunch of the storage facilities that they built here in town. And we were talking about the lighting earlier. The storage units that are facing the Swenson side of the space, or even the storage units that are facing the side of people who live adjacent to the space, what is the lighting levels? Because they're pretty bright, some of the storage units I've seen.
Yeah, so we haven't looked at lighting yet, or have we? Okay, so this is our architect on the project, so she can speak to lighting a little bit more.
All right, please give us your name.
Michelle Guerrillo, 7250 Peak Drive, Suite 216, SH Architecture. The lighting levels that you're speaking of, we actually have low lighting levels that are on the perimeter of the buildings, simply because we're not going to the exterior, and the security system that they use is infrared, so it doesn't require lighting. If that security system gets triggered, immediate response happens. Interior to the site, we have lighting, and it's part of the zoning package that has the cut lens that only goes down and has a very limited radius.
I'm not talking exterior lighting. I understand. Okay. I'm talking about lights that are inside. So I'm looking at your elevation plans right here, and your elevation plans are showing those glass windows. I'm sure those are storage units, correct? Mm-hmm. So those are visible from the outside. And typically from some of those storage unit pieces that I've seen around town, that light transmits. It's like somebody having their window open right out in front of somebody's door. So I'm trying to understand, one, how that's going to affect the neighbors around you, and two, you know, have you guys thought about how that...
Yes, so one of the things with the storage system, with town storage, is that they try to be a sustainable building. So everything, every lighting bit in the corridors would be timer controlled. So the only time that those lights would go on is if somebody was in the hall. And the hours of operation are normal, regular hours of operation. So the property would pretty much be unoccupied between the hours of 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Unless they request a, you know, extension. There are no garages or units that are accessible from the ground floor, to answer your question. So the only way for a homeless person to occupy this building is to actually break into the facility. And again, that would trigger the security and immediate response would happen.
Thank you.
You're saying that the hours of operation from here, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m.
9 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, so there's 24-hour access.
24-hour access.
So that means if somebody goes in there, those lights go on.
Correct. But it would only be for a limited amount of time.
Well, how does that affect somebody at 3 o'clock? I mean, the lighting.
Yeah, how does it affect your neighbors?
We could coating on the windows that would... still be able to see them, but it would protect the lighting from coming out so strongly. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't.
But your statement is really inaccurate. There will be people there.
Yeah.
And the concern that I have is if people are going to be in there 24/7, there could be noise issues. There could be people that have whatever.
Noise issues from inside?
From inside or outside. Getting into the place. People aren't necessarily quiet.
Right. So as she mentioned, we don't actually have garages on this property outside. So the only access, they're not going to be lifting garages and moving stuff from their car directly. They have to go inside of the building. That's when they would be unloading, you know, taking stuff in and out. So interior, yes, correct.
We've got to take it outside, put it in something.
Yeah, absolutely true. But again, we have many storages all throughout the county that are directly adjacent to the residential. Hasn't been an issue with town storage, from my understanding. We can certainly look at different lighting inside or film. I don't believe there would be any type of noise issue once they are actually inside in their units in a, you know, commercial building.
Okay, so I wouldn't have a problem with it as long as they do something as far as the film on the windows or some type of tension to hold down the glare of the residential property. I agree that you're not going to be able to do much else with that property.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that would be an issue.
So I would want that to be a part of it.
Sounds like whoever makes it. I think he's inching towards a motion.
Oh, you want to?
I would certainly appreciate it. It would be fantastic.
Okay, I want to see what the staff has here. Okay, you've got a lot of current planning items on here. Do you have any problems with them? So I would make a motion to approve this item, subject to current, preliminary staff conditions, and an addition of putting some type of film or tinting on the windows to hold down on the glare to the neighbors.
Alrighty, we have a motion on the floor for approval following the preliminary staff condition, the if approved conditions, with the addition of an extra condition for a film or tinting on the windows to cut down on the excess lighting at night. All right. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to the end of our zoning and planning agenda. Now we are at general business. Apparently we have none to discuss. Blanca, is that correct? All right, moving on to item number 8, comments from the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's mic and clearly state your name and address, and please spell your name, your last name, for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by majority vote. Do we have anyone that would like to approach the board and speak on a matter? Hi, Kathy. Give us your name and address, please.
Kathy Webb. Is it on?
I think it is not. Push up on the little button on the bottom.
Oh, there it went. Kathy Wagner, WAGNER, 2232 Whipple Tree Avenue. And first, I want to thank the Departments of Public Response and the Constable's Office. In our neighborhood, for some reason, there seems to be a lot of vehicles that end up parked on lawns, taking up a lot of space, looks terrible, and on the street. And I've got email addresses and phone numbers, and they are very responsive to getting things done, and when they aren't, I'll let them know again, but very rarely do I have to do that. So I appreciate their help in getting that done, and it took me coming to board meetings to find out who do I report these things to. The other one is in my neighborhood on Rawhide Street, 2206 East Rawhide Street. I recently signed up for something my daughter gave me, a Life something 360. And when I bring up things in my neighborhood, it says that at that address, there's a unicorn decapitation center. Now, I drove by there today. It sounds horrible. I don't know what it is. It's frightening. The house itself looks marvelous, nice. There is a big tower in the backyard on the, I guess it'd be on the west side of the house in the backyard. You know, maybe it's a tree house or something, I don't know. But I thought it's such an unusual name. I don't know, again, if it's zoned commercial or being used as a commercial property, or it's just a name that somebody came up with for some reason to list on their property. Anyway, I wanted to bring that to someone's attention, whether it's zoning and planning or who maybe I can check on.
It'll be checked on.
It'll be checked
on. Okay.
Have you already got the address, Blanca?
Got it down.
2006. I knew it.
She's already got that.
Okay. And I do believe that's... I think I brought this up once before, but I'm not sure. I was just interested, and I think we may have talked about it, but it was during the conversation that we had here with the church that's going on in the schools, school districts. Mm-hmm. So that's quite normal now, where churches are holding services on school properties.
I believe so. It's like a rental agreement for the... Yeah.
They rent the property.
The property.
Okay.
School
makes money off of it.
Yeah.
It's not during school.
Okay. All right. It just seems like maybe there was a constitutional conflict of some sort when
there's no school
churches and schools are, you know, but it's just renting or leasing the properties.
On Sunday.
Yeah. Okay. That was all. Thank
okay,
you very
great.
Much.
Thank you
Have
very
a good
much.
Evening.
Thank you. All right. We'll move on next. To our next meeting date, which is going to be March 26, 2019. And then our fun and final agenda item, adjournment.
So moved.
We have a motion for adjournment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. He's